welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of the site, and as usual, your host for the podcast. Today we're going to go in depth with the team at Sage Canada, as we're joined on the show by Paul Struthers, Managing Director of Sage Canada, and Scott Emmon, Vice President of Partner Strategy and Sales for North America. Sage has been busy earlier this summer hosting its first Sage Summit Road Tour in Toronto, and we figured this was a good time to check in with them. Paul and Scott share their thoughts on Summit and what partners got out of it, the cloud transformation, how it's impacting both Sage and its partners, some of the results of their survey of Canadian small businesses. They're pretty happy about where they are, and the channel can help them be even more happier. They also dive into the ethics of code that Sage had outlined for its software as machine learning and artificial intelligence makes its way deeper and deeper into the business software the company develops. It's a very interesting conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Paul Struthers and Scott Emmon. All right, Paul and Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, glad to be here.
Certainly a familiar name, Sage. But before we get into Summit and what kind of went down there, maybe let's step back a little bit. Can you give us a little bit of a background of Sage in the channel and in Canada, please?
Sure. Well, perhaps I'll start with the Canada piece, and then, Scott, if you want to chime in with the channel piece, you can do so. Sage has been in Canada for quite some time, over 30 years. Currently, we're the leading provider of business management software and services to small and mid-sized businesses in Canada and globally. We're across 24 countries. Our products span pure-play cloud offerings for small businesses right up to enterprises. We do have desktop and on-premises solutions available for those who prefer that option. We also have hybrid solution for those who want to connect to their premises through the cloud. So we're proud that we have multiple options for our customers, and the fact that no matter whether you're a solopreneur right up into a company that's growing and scaling up to a large enterprise, we have solutions that can fit your needs across accounting, payroll, payments, banking, enterprise, resource planning and management, et cetera. So we like to think that once you're in the Sage family, if you don't want to, you don't really have to leave. We are the number one provider of small business accounting with our Sage 50 accounting solution. It is the number one choice of small businesses in Canada. We do like to operate as a champion of small business across Canada, giving a voice to these businesses that are, fighting to get ahead and achieve their dreams, because 98% of businesses in Canada are small to mid-sized businesses, so they really are the foundation of our economy. And we do some of these things through various initiatives. We have a Sage Foundation Enterprise Fund, where we pledged $1 million U.S. to back ideas from nonprofits around the world, including Canada. It's open to nonprofits and other enterprise ideas. We're supporting the Invictus Games, so you're from the Toronto area, Rob, and know that end of September, Invictus Games will be coming to Toronto.
Yes.
So we are a premier sponsor there. Many of our colleagues and partners are volunteering at that event, and we're very excited to get engaged, and it's a great initiative. So we also introduced our Sage Serving Heroes program at Sage Summit, which was back at the end of June, where we will be providing mentoring and software and other advice services to veterans who want to start their own businesses and get started. And we're doing a lot in technology innovation as well. We have a lot around artificial intelligence and leading what we call an invisible accounting revolution, so that we can take away all the administrative headaches from small and mid-sized large businesses so they can focus on their core competencies and what they love doing.
All right.
Yeah, on the channel side, we've got a vibrant partner ecosystem in Canada made up of several hundred value-added resellers to support the portfolio of products that Paul just laid out. Mm-hmm. In addition, we have thousands of bookkeepers and accountants that actually serve our clients using our technology, which is a fantastic partnership model that we have in extending the value that Sage provides in our technology to actual business operations of our clients. So very dependent on that channel. We also have a couple dozen software companies based in Canada that make up additional solutions that bolt onto our technology stack that add even more value to our clients when they integrate those technologies into the Sage platform. So very dependent on the ecosystem in Canada to actually drive more value to our clients. So a big part of our way to market.
All right.
Up there.
Great. Now, in the past, I've attended a few Sage Summit events, and it's been a big tent kind of. Customers and partners from around North America come to Denver or whatever the location may be that particular year. This year, you've gone a little bit different and kind of made it a road show, including the stop in the Toronto. Can you tell me a little bit more about the road show approach this year in general and of course, the Toronto event in specific?
For sure. I'd be happy to talk about that. So, when we looked at, I've been here for just over a year now. Actually, this week is my one-year anniversary at Sage Canada, and the best year of my career. It's been fantastic. So when we looked at our strategy for the year ahead, we realized Canada is a big country to cover, and we're lucky enough and proud and honored to have customers coast to coast. Mm-hmm. And we believe that rather than having one event, maybe in a different location, like you mentioned, at Denver or even Atlanta, that we want to be local. We want to show everyone that we are continuing to increase our investment in Canada, and we want to go out to all the different communities. So we did go. We started on the East Coast, and we've been to Halifax. We've been to Montreal. We did have a bit of a bigger stop, multi-day event, which I'll talk about in a second, in Toronto. Mm-hmm. We were in Calgary back in August, and then we're in Vancouver in about 3 weeks. And we'll be doing even more. Like Scott mentioned, we have a lot of great family members with accountants and bookkeepers across the country that are working with Sage. And we'll be doing many more road shows to go out and see them and really kind of augment this road show approach that we did, because a lot of times a small business, it's not really in their resources or wherewithal to come in and join you at something that is a plane trip or a hotel and
sure,
et cetera. So we want to go to our customers. Sage Summit in Toronto was fantastic. So it was awesome. The best, one of the best 3 to 4 days of my career, for sure. Definitely my time here at Sage. So it was at the end of June 27th and 28th. On the 26th, we had a half a day for our partners, accountants and bookkeepers. And it was the first time that we had taken that large Sage Summit format that you referenced earlier, Rob, mm-hmm. and we brought it to Canada. So we got nothing but great feedback that it was great to see Sage coming so strong into Canada, that we're investing and focusing on this local market. We had thousands of partners, accountants, bookkeepers, customers, the different software solution partners that we had that Scott mentioned as well. It was right down at the X, where exhibition place at the Beanfield Center. And it was great to be doing it on the 150th birthday of Canada. So we were able to celebrate all the different entrepreneurs and businesses that have built Canada to what it is today, starting 150 years ago. And some great keynote speakers we had there. We had Rick Mercer doing a headline, which was great. I mean, I had to go on after Rick Mercer, and that is not something I ever wanted to do again. He's a pretty hard act to follow, let me tell you. And we had Canadian entrepreneur Michael Hyatt, who's also on Dragon's Den, and you know, recently just sold one of his companies for $500 million. And he's joined us on the roadshow across Canada, and also did some in Toronto, and been getting fantastic feedback. John Torrey joined us to talk about, you know, diversity in business and diversity in Toronto. And of course, our CEO Stephen Kelly was there, and Scott presented and I presented, and some of our other leaders from around the world. So it was really a fantastic event. Lots of great feedback, positive feedback from our customers and partner community. And yeah, we'll be looking to see everyone again in Toronto next year.
Ah, so this approach continues for next year?
Their approach will continue, yes. We'll definitely be going back on the road. Our fiscal year starts in October, so we will definitely kind of set the clock again and then go and go across Canada and see everyone for sure. And it might be a little bit of a different format. We might do some more intimate events for specific audiences, but definitely we'll be coming across the country like we did this year, but even better.
All right, great. Can we maybe go through some of the highlights of the Toronto event for the channel partner and with that audience in mind?
Yeah, Paul, that's a great question, or something really great to highlight, actually. What you may be aware of is we also had a partner summit or an Sage Summit in Atlanta, which a lot of our Canadian partners attended. And actually, the buzz coming out of the Toronto summit with our Canadian partners that were there at both locations, I should say, was that they really felt that the partner-to-partner networking was a phenomenal opportunity for them, between the VARs connecting with other VARs and teaming up, and how they could, you know, expand across the country, or VARs being introduced to a number of these independent solution vendors that I mentioned earlier. A really fantastic opportunity for them to interact, which was a little bit more intimate in Canada, quite frankly, than it was in Atlanta. So they were really excited about that. Another highlight was we are constantly, we embarked on an effort this year to really help drive Sage's commitment to cloud, and we introduced the idea that a lot of our partners, both the ISVs as well as the VARs, need to start adopting a transformation in their business to embrace cloud. So we had a number of sessions on that. The keen, you know, awareness that they came away with from what we revealed at the summit was a real need for a more expansive group of partnerships that they need to have in order to embrace the opportunities around cloud, as well as being more aggressive about getting out in the market, specifically around digital marketing and specializing around verticals or certain solutions. So that's a big change in the way the partners are starting to work and go to market around their business regarding cloud and around this need to be out in the digital marketing world. And then I think another thing, as Paul mentioned, you know, the executive exposure that these partners had to our executives, Paul, a number of meetings with Paul, a number of meetings with Stephen Kelly and our other executives was a real highlight for the partners. They really feel connected with us when they've got that type of exposure, and we're providing them that type of support to help grow their business.
All right, great. While ago you touched on your advocacy for connection to an intimacy with the small business community. I understand at the Summit Stop in Toronto, you shared the results of a national survey of small business owners. Can you kind of share some of the highlights of that survey?
Yeah, sure. I'll touch on that, Rob. Mm-hmm. So we did do this survey to try to get a better pulse of what's top of mind with small businesses across Canada, and particularly around the 150th birthday celebrations that have been ongoing this year across Canada. So some of the highlights, you have quite a bit of data points here, so I hope you have your pen ready, Rob, but or anybody listening has their pen ready. But there were some interesting findings. So some of the highlights were very encouraging. Like 85% of people surveyed are optimistic about the future of their business, and 74% of those are generally optimistic about the future of all small business in Canada. That said, 51% are citing too many government regulations, surprise, surprise, and or taxes as the most common challenges they face day to day. 32% cite a general lack of support or perceived support from the government. And 72%, which is kind of surprising, know very little or nothing about what the government is doing to help small business. So there's definitely some education awareness that has to be done there. And only one quarter of the entrepreneurs surveyed find federal, so 26% of them, or provincial, and that was 25%, initiatives to be helpful to the business. So definitely some work to be done to help our small business community really, really succeed, and we'll have to see where the new tax legislation goes as well. Now, what is great to see as well, Canadian small business entrepreneurs are very dedicated to serving local communities and giving back to Canada, as we are at Sage. We have always had a big charity element, and our Sage Foundation is very, very active here in Canada, where our colleagues are given 2% of their time. We contribute 2% of our free cash flow into charitable initiatives. So we're very, very engaged in the communities. 70% of those surveyed agree that Canadian small businesses are more likely than large businesses to serve their local community. And 43% believe small business make Canada a better place to live. And 52% say large businesses collectively make Canada a better place to live. So I think that's a lot of stats for you to absorb for now. I have more that I could probably go through. But despite the challenges, 80% said that they would do it over again, that they would absolutely 100% do it over again. So that's great to hear. We all have challenges in what we're trying to achieve, particularly with our dreams. Great to hear that, you know, the majority would definitely jump in and do it again.
And the majority of your partner base on both sides, both the VAR and the accountant and that side, of course, fit into that definition of small business as well. So facing some of the same challenges and hopefully that same level of optimism, which is, you know, great to hear that, you know, almost 90% happy about their business, three quarters generally optimistic about the future of small business in the country. What can your partners do to help keep that level of optimism there and even to help grow it amongst their small business customers?
So, again, this is Scott. Maybe I'll take that one, Paul. The big answer to that is adopt cloud solutions and the offerings that they give to their clients. A big part of the growth that we talked about with these small businesses is really being fueled by the accelerated time to value that cloud technology offers. So we see our customers adopting cloud, and we really need our partners to really accelerate their transformation and providing on-premise solutions to providing cloud solutions. And one of the things that we shared at Summit was the basic general changes that are taking place in the way those companies run in the support or the deployment of cloud solutions. And just to kind of pile on to some of the stats that Paul was throwing out there, I'll just add a couple here for everyone's benefit as to the reasons why I'm saying what I'm saying. 60 to 70% of IT solutions will be cloud-based by 2020. And the overall industry for cloud through 2017 has actually been growing at 22%. The interesting thing that we found out, Rob, was in a survey that we did, that only about 50, and this isn't just with Sage partners, this is just partners in general, both in the U.S. and in Canada, that only about 50% of partners have actually executed plans or even have plans to adopt cloud. Huh. So one of the things that we're doing to help our partners with that is we've developed a number of tools and resources, including webinar series and that type of thing, in conjunction with IDC to actually help our partners do an assessment on their business to figure out where they are in this evolution of moving to cloud. So it gives them very specific recommendations on sales and marketing, organizational structure, marketing, their specific offerings, as well as their their team sizes and structures that they should consider adjusting or adapting to be able to support cloud. So bottom line answer is embrace cloud. It's the major fuel driver for all businesses today. And our partners need to be in position to have those solutions and the business models to support that.
All right. Very cool. Appreciate the advice. At Summit, you guys launched the Ethics of Code, which is a pretty fascinating idea for me. Sort of your principles for developing artificial intelligence for a business. And certainly throughout the industry, throughout business in general, artificial intelligence is such an emerging area of opportunity, of differentiation, of transformation potentially. Can you tell me a little bit about the Ethics of Code?
Yeah, I'll take that one, Rob. Thanks. It is a pretty fascinating area and something that probably many people didn't think was something you needed to even think about, right? So that there would be an ethics of code for AI. Now, we did talk about it at Summit as well, as you mentioned, and if anybody heard her, Kriti Sharma, who's our global VP of Artificial Intelligence and Bots, and also is still on the top 30 under 30 in tech, according to Forbes. So she's quite brilliant and a pleasure to work with. And she developed something called, of course, with everyone else at Sage and the industry, the Ethics of Code, Developing AI for Business with 5 Core Principles. And we sort of set forth these values that people should be looking at when developing AI as we embark on what's really the fourth industrial revolution here around the world. And we applied these principles, and we developed the world's first accounting chatbot called PEG, which integrates into our Sage One cloud solution for small businesses as well. And there are really 5 key tenets of this ethics of code, and I'll maybe just talk at them at a high level, and I would encourage anyone who wants to learn more to look up this information. But one, AI should an AI being artificial intelligence. I don't want to have to say artificial intelligence every time and for your audience, Rob. So AI should reflect the diversity of the users it serves. So we live in a diverse world. When we develop PEG, for example, it's not a gender-specific name. It would not have gender-specific responses. We will be using a voice response for it, well, much like Google Home and Alexa. And it can be gender-neutral as well. There's no reason we shouldn't reflect the diversity of the communities in which we work in our AI. AI must be held to account, and so must its users. So we all are expected to hold a certain code of ethics. We should expect the technology we develop through AI to do the same. We don't want anybody misusing such a great technology that can be helping all of us move forward. Also, we call it reward AI for, quote-unquote, showing its workings. Now, what does that mean? It means AI doesn't really have a lot of cognition of what it's saying, and it will potentially emulate bad behavior. So we have to make sure that AI is not acting socially inappropriate, is not, you know, using anything derogatory, and make sure that we're being ethical and rewarding AI for showing the kind of positive reinforced behavior that we want it to exhibit. The fourth piece is AI should level the playing field. The fact that people who have, you know, vision problems or different learning issues like dyslexia or limited mobility, this AI should be able to advance the playing field for everyone to participate in the economy in whichever way they choose or see fit. Mm-hmm. And it will actually broaden the talent pool for everyone out there because more and more people have access to bringing their own personal value into the business world and the world in general. And yes, AI will replace some functions, but it will also create. So I don't think people should be scared of AI. Just like every other industrial revolution, sure, the world will change. It will absolutely change for the better. And if you've been to any of our SAGE sessions and heard Michael Hyatt speak, he talks about how we're really at the best point in human history from an economic and health and lack of actual global wars and everything perspective. And it's only going to get better as AI enhances and enriches our lives. And there's actually a great article that came out in The Economist that's on our CEO, Stephen Kelly's Twitter feed, if anybody wants to check it out. And I will retweet it as well on my Twitter feed at @StruthersPaul, that much like the printing press, when the printing press came around at first, wood carvers pretty much went on strike and shut down all the printing presses because they were worried that, you know, that was the end of the world kind of thing. And look at where we are today. So we should all be excited about it. And those are really the five key tenets of the ethics of code. Again, Ethics of Code, Developing AI for Business with Five Core Principles is the article. I can find it online if anyone wants to find out more.
All right. You touch on certainly within that how AI has the potential to transform business interactions in general and how end users and consumers deal with business software and how businesses deal with their consumers as well. What are your thoughts on how AI making its way into your software, into business-to-business interactions, into everywhere it's going to work itself, is going to impact, change, transform how your partners work with their customers in the future?
So, you know, I think there's a couple things. I mean, as Paul mentioned, there's a number of roles or functions or tasks that will be automated through the usage of AI and SAGE technology in particular. I see bookkeepers and accountants and even VARs to a certain extent changing the way they provide services to our customers that are taking advantage of that. You know, the best example might be sort of a partner that's providing business process outsourcing services. I think a lot of small companies in particular that we serve through our partners will benefit from those partners that can step up and really embrace the intelligence and the transformation that businesses can make in leveraging that. So I see some significant new advisory services coming out with the usage of, or I should say, with the evolution of AI into the business and especially in using our technology. I see different types of business process outsourcing services coming into play to help clients, you know, again, embrace all of this with around artificial intelligence. And then lastly, I see a lot of our partners having to adopt different types of new partnerships with technology providers that perhaps are making up a mix of sensor technology or in-memory computing as well as cloud, like I've talked about before. So the solution complexity will increase a little bit, and the technology mix will be a big part of that. And so I see partners embracing BPO advisory services and forming new technology partnerships to ultimately take advantage of what AI can do for them.
All right, great. Finally, before we wrap, I want to get your thoughts on the near future, what we can expect from SAGE in the Canadian channel and what your partners can expect.
Well, they could expect more of the same. And what we started out rolling out in the beginning of 2017, we've been very aggressive about simplifying the way our partners work with us. We've simplified our partner programs. We have a big orientation towards making our partners successful. So we will intensify that effort going into 2018. And there's a couple other things that we're going to do. We're going to really look at introducing new tools to help with partner productivity and really help them grow. I mentioned a couple of things that we've already launched around a cloud focus. We're going to be rolling out some new messaging around our cloud portfolio, so we're looking for partners to really embrace that. We're also going to actually invest heavily into our accountant and bookkeeper channel. That particular channel, as I mentioned earlier, is vital to our success. They are closest to our customers, so learning from them as well as providing them tools that we think will add value to the servicing of those clients will be a big focus for us. Another thing we're going to do for our channel partners in Canada as well is leverage more of our strategic partnerships. So a lot of these roadshows that Paul was talking about, you know, can be definitely enhanced with our partnerships with Amazon Web Services or Salesforce.com. So we'll look to figure out ways we can do that and have our smaller partners and accountants and bookkeepers take advantage of that. ISVs will continue to make a big play in our focus for 2018. As I mentioned, we have a couple hundred partners or a couple dozen ISVs, rather, in Canada. Those solutions make a better solution for our customers when we have a number of those things tied together. So that'll be a big part of what we bring to more of our partners in Canada to help with driving more efficiency and stickiness for both our partners as well as us. And then lastly, we're going to bring a best-in-class partner enablement and support model to take advantage of a lot of these new technologies we're rolling out, but also a lot of these new business transformation skills that we need to put in place for our partners. So quite a bit to get after, and can't wait for the new year to start so we can really dive in.
All right. Sounds good. A very comprehensive overview of what's been going on and what will be going on at Sage. Gentlemen, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
So there you have it, the state of Sage today. I'd like to thank Paul and Scott for joining us on the podcast, and thank Sage Canada for its sponsorship of the site this year. And, of course, thank you for listening. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back later this week as we check in on the action over at HP Canada. We'll be joined by Marianne Yule and John Camilleri, coming off the heels of the company's biggest ever global partner forum, and we'll discuss security, channel programs, and the start of the company's big push on device as a service, so don't miss it. Until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.